Hello and welcome back to the Wake Raising Men Show. Man, I love Tuesdays. I've been missing Tuesdays. It's been a little bit. I know. I'm not supposed to be using song lyrics and things like that. But, you know, I started this show on song lyrics as a part of what we do and as a part of the just examples of the show. And I want to go back to that song. It's been a long time. I shouldn't have kept you. But you know what? I know we used that in some of the drops as we brought this show back on WKBY 1080 AM out of Chatham, Virginia. But we've been playing several of the rerun shows from previous times, previous months. We had some really great guests. We brought those back. We've been moving. I've moved out of the city where I've lived for, close to 26 years. And it's been a lot for us. And so I haven't been able to record anything new, but I hope you've enjoyed hearing back in some of the old shows. I don't usually make it a habit of going back and playing an old show. I really have felt a lot. Well, I mean, you know, to be honest, I felt some kind of way about doing a playback, a rerun show. And I think that was just a religious aspect as well. I think that's something else that the enemy was trying to get me wrapped up in and think that, hey, you can't just play something old. You have to always have something new. You have to. But the reality is I don't have to do anything except for what the Lord tells me to do. And I had to spend a couple of moments just really giving myself permission to stop for a minute, to take care of my family, to take care of the things that actually needed to be done at that moment. And the thing that we really needed to do was move. We had to get that handled. And we had to take some steps there and get that done. So we're done. We're not unpacked. We really are so far from unpacked. That's not even funny. Now, granted, I don't have boxes, thankfully, all over my house. There are some in some spaces, and we're trying to get settled. I'm trying to find that new normal, and that can be tough. We're in this study right now. I'm teaching through a 12-week devotional study called Teachable Moments, and I really find that life is a series of teachable moments. There are moments when the Lord uses our everyday life, our everyday occurrences, the everyday aspects and happenings in our life to really get our attention, to get us to slow down a minute and focus on Him and hopefully get us to learn something of what He really wants for our lives. I had to give myself permission to learn. It's easy for people to think, well, this guy's on the radio, he's on TV, he's teaching, he's going through these messages, he's going through these studies, he's got guests, he's doing whatever, that I've really got everything handled. I had a meeting a while ago with my pastor, and he was just saying, hey, you look like you got everything together. If I looked on the outside, I didn't have this time to talk with you and have a conversation. I swear everything was just perfect in your life. And I think I'm learning that those who are in leadership or those who may be in a, people may say more of a public eye or put themselves out there, or whether it be blogging or YouTubing or whatever it is, radio shows, you name it. We can get that mantle, pastoring and preaching, teaching, a public figure. It's easy for us to get thought of as having everything together. But it's so far from the truth. I was on social media just this past week. I think it was just a couple of days ago. And there's an artist that I follow, and he had posted something, a prayer request. And it's so easy to look at people like that. He's an artist. He's a minister. He's a worship leader. He's strong. And think that we don't need help, think that we don't need anything, that we're okay. I mean, even a lion hurts and their stomach growls and they're not as strong as they need to be at times. That's why they run in packs for the support. And I think that's really where we are, even with the teaching moment right now, that I'm learning that we need to constantly run in pack. Guys, we need to spend time together and not isolate ourselves, not spend so much time away from each other. Okay, so where are we? What are we doing? And I don't want to get too far into the study just yet. I want to make sure we set it up properly. I know those of you who are listening to the show and following us on the archives, it's easy for you to go back in and, listen to, week one, week two, week three, and get caught up. And, here we are with week four of the study. But we're going to, you know, spend a few moments doing the recap, and then we'll get, you know, move forward. So I want to get ahead of myself. So definitely, again, thanking you all again for listening and following the show, following us on social media, sending us messages. In fact, a good buddy of mine, I didn't even realize he was on social media. He's old school, and I remember him telling me one time that he doesn't have a social media presence, but he found a presence out there, and he hit me up, and I happened to see him, and he says, "Hey, what's up with you and your show? Are you still doing it?" I'm like, "Yeah, we're still airing on WKBY 1080 AM, you know, every Tuesday, you know, without fail, whether it be a previously recorded program or not." He says, "Why don't I didn't see you out there on social media?" I'm thinking, well, if I'm playing an episode that I've already, you know, released online, does it really matter? But I have to be reminded, and guys, we have to be reminded that our lives matter. Everything in our lives matter. We get caught up in some of that social media jargon that, you know, Black Lives Matter. You know, and I get it. Our lives do matter, but everything in our lives matter. Every life matters, no matter what color it is, because the Lord has called us to that, to live in a loving state. So every aspect of what we do matters. There's people that are watching us that we never would have imagined even paying attention to us. You know, and I find that more and more evident in my life right now since we've moved. When I lived in the city where I just come from, I think I spent a lot of time, and I think I owe an apology probably to a number of people, because I didn't allow myself to be an easy person to be connected to. I spent a lot of time kind of at arm's length with people. I spent a lot of time away in isolation. I spent a lot of time trying to not get hurt anymore. I'd been hurt by previous pastors, previous churches, previous church people, previous family members, previous friends, and I didn't want to be hurt anymore. In fact, when I came to the church where we've just come from, because I remember spending a lot of time in the sidelines, spending a lot of time not serving, spending a lot of time not saying a lot to people, because the church where I had come from, the pastor was such a, well, anyway, he wasn't a good guy. But I know we all can change. So we're going to allow him, I'm going to allow him to be who he is. He knows who he is. I don't need to put anybody out there. But people have the opportunity, need to be given the opportunity in everyone's eyes to change. So we're going to leave that right there. But during that particular season, when I was hurt by these various people, I withdrew. Kind of like a turtle or a snail, depending on whatever you want. Either way, it's a slow-moving animal that has a shell to protect itself. And I pulled back. And I didn't spend any time out in public unless it was something I had to do. Something was forcing me to come outside. I asked myself often, why did you do that? And I had to go back and spend a lot of time with the Lord and say, Lord, you know, why did I do that? What was the root cause there with me? Just trying not to be seen, not to be heard, trying, in some cases, not even to see the sun. And that with S-U-N. But what I'm learning, what really happened is that I spent so much time withdrawn in a way that I didn't see the sun. S-O-N. And that would be a capital S-O-N. Jesus, see the Lord speaking to me and helping me understand what I needed to do next, where I was supposed to be because I was hurt. All this is a preface into where we are with week 4. The Lord gave me a picture. I know I just came from a writer's conference, and so we're supposed to watch our writing. We're supposed to watch what we say. We're not supposed to use the churchies speak, you know, the churchisms and say, oh, the Lord spoke to me, show me. But that's really what it is. I had to be real, guys, you know. I felt that the Lord painted a picture for me in my mind. It showed me a picture. So those of you aren't into the whole real churchy, real spiritual, super spiritual things, I had this image that formed in my mind of me standing behind a large castle wall. So those of you have, you know, I'm sure you know what a castle is. So if not, Google it. It'll show you what a castle is. But it was a large, tall castle wall where I couldn't even see the top of the wall. And the Lord was showing me that I was, or the, okay, for those who don't know, the image I had was I was leaning against the wall with my right hand. I just kind of like I was trying to talk through the wall and lean into the wall at the same time. And I believe I've used this analogy on the show before. So for some of you, if you follow the show, you have heard this analogy before. And I was trying to hear what was happening on the other side of the wall. At the same time, I'm trying to talk really loud so that the person on the other side of the wall could hear me. And the Lord was just showing me that that's been me for a while. Where I'm trying to love people, I'm trying to talk to people, I'm trying to minister to people from behind this wall. And you can't do that effectively, if at all, because people are really not going to be able to hear you because there was a doorway through the wall. It was thick it's a thick wall. And it's very odd and opportune at the same time that the Lord would use that analogy or force me to use that analogy in my own life or back to me, because I know after my late wife died, I suffered several other losses in with relationships, and I thought to myself, you know what, I'm going to build this moat around my castle. I'm going to pull the kids and myself back inside. I'm not coming outside. I'm not letting anybody in. I'm going to be safe. I need to be safe from the villains. I need to be safe from the marauders who are coming to overthrow and sack the castle. So I've used the analogy to people that, you know, I just needed to make sure that I dig that moat deeper and wider and put some more piranha and sharks in the water, which it makes sense to put piranhas and sharks in the water because the piranha probably would end up eating the shark because that's just what a piranha does. So I remember even saying that I didn't want my drawbridge to even reach the other side because I'm not going out there. And no one's coming in. But that's not the way we are supposed to live, guys. That's the definition of what we do as men. We withdraw. We put ourselves on islands. And I know previously I posted on social media that islands are for vacation, not for isolation. And that's true. We're not supposed to be inside. We're supposed to be out there in public and making those life-changing connections. But sometimes, guys, I know when you're connecting certain things electrically, whether it be on our car or batteries or even electrical wiring around the house, sometimes those are bad connections. And it sparks and it shocks us. And it hurts. There used to be a time when a previous church went to that particular pastor that I previously mentioned kept saying, it's like iron sharpening iron. Well, you know, and that's a great analogy because two pieces of iron can hit each other. Their sparks can fly. And I know I don't like sparks. I'm a I shouldn't say that. I have been non-confrontational for a particular season in my life. And then there was seasons much way back when I was younger, when I was a confrontational kind of dude. I mean, if you looked at me sideways, I was ready to fight. And I'm finding that my emotions have been shut off for years since the wife died. A brief story. I remember after we buried her and we were taking my oldest son to, an orientation in Ohio State University when he was accepted, and they want all the freshmen to come, and most that could come, and then you see the campus and blah, blah, blah. So I remember going to Cleveland and Columbus, Ohio in March, and I was wearing a California t-shirt, no undershirt, just like it was nothing. And it was cold. And when I say it was cold, I didn't feel it. So I'm going to say it was cold by the numbers. So the thermometer and the temperature was low. And I remember having the kids bundled up. I remember making sure that they brought their jacket. And don't get me wrong, I brought a jacket with me. I just didn't use it because I didn't feel any cold. If I've touched my own skin, I didn't feel any temperature change at all on the outside to the touch. If I used my fingers and touched my arms or my face, I didn't even feel that temperature. So I wasn't feeling anything on the core of my body. And I remember when the kid's aunt was asking me, hey, what are you doing? Where's your jacket? Don't go outside like that. It's cold. You're going to get sick. And I told her, I said, hey, I don't feel anything. I don't feel heat. I don't feel cold. And I knew it. That's the thing. So guys, as we're going through life and going through these teachable moment studies, we have to understand that when we know that we're in trouble, We got to do something about it. We have to take those next steps. And that's the title for this week four. So week four's title of the Teachable Moment study is Next Steps. Because as we're going through life and we're doing things, we're doing life and we're supposed to be doing better. Because my dad said at my wife's funeral when he did the eulogy, if you know better, you do better. That's supposed to be the mantra. I know some people that have done some pretty awful things to me who ought to know better. And people can say, well, you've done some awful things too. Well, the most awful, one of the awful things I know I can admit to, because I know that I did, was pull away, was to cut them off, just to not talk with that, deal with them. And I get it, because that is what I need to do to protect myself. Guys, when we know we're in trouble, so often we don't do anything. So often we just sit back. So often we just kind of let it rise off. We'll deal with it later. But we can't continue to sit there. Even that's a teachable moment. We know in our cars. I know a lot of us guys, we like cars and boats and just other trinkets and toys. If our favorite thing, whatever that toy is broken or making some noise or not performing the way it should, it doesn't get any better by just ignoring it. Now, here's the thing. I do have a really good friend of mine who's a prophet. He hears from God, like, and he listens. I know we all hear from God. We just aren't all listening. So he listens in for God. And when the Lord speaks, I've been around him when he'll share a prophetic word that, hey, you know, there's angels out there fixing so-and-so's car and such's car. And I'm praying, Lord, send more angels to fix my car, because I don't really want to pay the high cost of repair bill. And I definitely don't want to be broken down on the side of the road. And I say that in jest, but I'm earnest about that. I believe that that God can do all things at any time, at all times. A lot of it for us, it starts with belief. If we don't believe in the power of God, we don't believe in what God has for us and can do, then we're pretty much lost. We can't move to the next step, because the Lord can't get him really do what he wants to do in our life, because we don't believe him. Or we believe that God fits in a certain size box. And yes, God will occupy the entire space of whatever size box we put him in until our experiences with him change. And when they change, that definitely changes that size of the box. It has to expand. And then we become to the point where we either have to get a bigger box or we let God be God. But so often we just let God grow out of the box and we'll go find a new box for him. Just like a plant, you know, so many times we have to repot a plant. When the roots get too big and the plant itself gets too big and it can't get the nutrients that it needs more soil to grow and put those roots out further. Sometimes, guys, we just go get a bigger pot and put it in. So sometimes we're just going to get that bigger pot or that bigger box for God and just go put him in there. But we have to get to the point where we can take God out of the boxes completely. He doesn't need to be in any box. He created the box, so why would he create a box to put himself in? So we got to let God be God. We're going to take this first break, and then we're going to come back and actually get into this week's study and spend some time giving ourselves some tools to be able to take those next steps. We'll be right back to the Raise a Man Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information,
go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
And we're back to the Raisin Man Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome, welcome back. You know, of course, that'd be a TV show. Gabe Kaplan, welcome back, Carney. You should watch that in the 70s. I know, I'm supposed to be watching the radio, TV, and song references. Okay, all right, no problem. We're getting back into it. So let's recap. Where have we been? Week one, we dealt with Father Knows Best. And so that time we dealt with what our we as fathers and what our fathers taught us. And one of the things we mentioned in week one was that as men, we don't speak enough. We don't teach enough. We don't really show our kids the things that we are supposed to be showing them that they really need for us to show them because we probably weren't shown it. So we had to really spend a lot of time digging into what we believe our fathers knew best to teach us and then understand. Then from that perspective, we went into week two, which was me, myself, and I, when we really had to look at and think back as to what our fathers taught us and then spend some time trying to figure out how we feel about that. I know it kind of made us feel some kind of way with what our fathers taught us, but we spent a lot of time then figuring out what the concert of one actually looked like, what it really felt to us being me, myself, and I in terms of what are we doing with what our fathers taught us. And inevitably, we have to look at what we're teaching our children, what we're teaching our sons and daughters, how we're teaching them, what are we teaching them? Because they're going to have the same position that we have. They're going to be looking at, you know, what we taught them, and they're going to have to try to figure out what their lives look like based on how we taught them. Week three, then, we jumped right in with In the Midst, where we found ourselves based on what our fathers taught us and based on how we responded and compartmentalized and analyzed and what we decided to do with what we learned and what we knew. And when we find ourselves in our thoughts and so twisted up where we cannot move, we dealt in week three with how we proceed with being in the midst of trouble, midst of our thoughts. Joyce Myers has a great book and great study called Battlefield of the Mind, and that's really what week three can also be thought about, is when we find ourselves wrapped up in our thoughts and emotions and feelings and not taking the time, guys. We don't often take a time and find that good friend or two or three and spend any time sharing and bouncing ideas off and opening ourselves up to or making ourselves vulnerable. I don't want to be, back in the day, I used to hear the old guys say, I don't want anybody to think I'm a sissy. Well, you know, that's another way that the enemy has allowed himself to draw a wedge between just men towards men and us men towards our children, our sons in particular, where we spend so much time not talking to our kids about a variety of topics or all topics that we allow the world to speak to them about the same topic that they really don't know anything about. And I've been telling all my kids that when you want to learn how to drive a car, and I use this analogy for them for everything. If you want to learn how to drive a car, how would you go to a person who doesn't know how to drive and ask them how to drive a car? That's not safe. That doesn't even make good sense. So when as our kids want to know anything about drugs or sex or alcohol or anything like that, I don't encourage my kids to go to another kid to ask about that. I try to keep my life and my conversation and my relationship with them open enough to be able to come to me for everything. Now, granted, some of those conversations are not the conversation, you know, parents that we really want to have. I get it, guys. You know, we don't want to always be sitting there having those conversations about sex, drugs, or alcohol with our kids. And I find that it's not really so much that it's uncomfortable about what they're going to ask, but I think it's uncomfortable for us when we really look back, or when I look back on what I did with that, and for me to share my experiences with them, because I think so often, I know I've said this in previous episodes, where as fathers, you know, we don't want our kids, our sons particularly, to think bad of us because of what we did. Because when we were doing those things, no one thought about that when we were doing them. We just wanted to do it. We were just worried about us and what we were doing. And so it didn't matter what anybody thought. Then until you had a child, and then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, now I got all this craziness in my past that I'm ashamed of. Well, you know, we should have thought about that when we were coming up. But if we didn't, so and it happened, it did, and that's what happens. And so it is what it is. And so we have to be able to own up to our junk and then go back and use those as teachable moments throughout our life and understand how to use that to move forward. And so now that we are in that position of moving forward, where are we? Where are we moving? Where are we, what steps are we taking to get to where we're going? And so that's where we are right now. It's where we find ourselves in week four of this study, which is called The Next Step. And so during our hiatus, I had to really look at this move and what it did to my family and what it did to me in particular. We've moved 3 times in the last 3 years. And that, we weren't military. You know, my dad was ex-military, but it felt like we were military. It felt like we were outcasts. Because while my late wife was sick, we didn't move. We stayed in the same house. And the only thing that was really, really different for us is that she wasn't there. And so we tried to spend and make a lot of the time for the kids to make themselves feel consistent, given that consistently see as best we could under the circumstances. Eventually lost that house, lost the job. And I was just in a place where it was a dark place. It sucked. I didn't like the spaces where I was. I felt that I just wanted to withdraw. I was, to be real honest and transparent, I was looking to move to Paris, France. And I wanted to get away. And I wanted to be as far away from everything that I knew and everything that knew me. So I couldn't find anybody that was out there coming around the corner that wouldn't have known me while Sandy was alive. I didn't want to know those kinds of people because it hurt a lot. The reflection of what I thought I saw in their faces so often was like, oh yeah. Yeah, that pain. And you know, and I'm not sure if I really saw my own pain in their eyes or I saw the pain in their own eyes. Because and I would be totally transparent there for a while. I used to get calls from friends, from a particular friend of mine, and actually 2 or 3 friends of ours, is that they used to ask me, hey, what are you going to do with Sandy's old phone? Are you going to turn it off or whatever? And I said, you know, I'll leave it on for a little bit because there's some numbers in there that I don't have. And if there's people that are looking for her or me or whatever who don't have my number, they may call her phone. So I used to leave the phone off most of the time. And I used to have friends tell me that they used to call her phone just to hear her voice on the voicemail. And I was frustrated. I was like, well, what the heck is that all about? I mean, all these people out there all sad and jacked up and, you know, about her being gone. I live with her. I should be the one that's jacked up. I mean, you know, and I was trying to compare their pain to mine. And that's not good. I had to eventually get to a point where we understood that everybody's pain was everybody's pain when it comes to loss. I don't care if you were married to them, you related to them, just knew them. If a person made an impact in your life and they're gone, it's going to be what it is. So as we moved from that period of life after her, that I have to realize now that this move away from the city where I just came from is a chapter of my life that's finally closed. Now, we didn't move to Paris, France. We moved to Carlsbad, California. Now, we came from Temecula, the Inland Empire, Riverside County, down to San Diego County. So I was born and raised in San Diego. Yes, that's all wonderful. So we're not quite back to San Diego. Not sure I want to live in San Diego, but I like where we live. And for the past 26 years, I've been in a place where I thought it was where I had met my wife there, and we had kids there, and I developed a whole different life there. And now moving here, man, when you say 26 years, I mean, that it was definitely a lifetime ago. The kids have never lived outside of that area. So for them, this is totally, totally new. Yeah, now granted, I said we moved 3 times in 3 years, and I get it. We did move from inside of the Inland Empire from one of the little neighboring cities to another. So it was, they still were able to be 15, 20 minutes away from, you know, friends or schools or whatever, wherever. And so they weren't really impacted by the impact of our move. It may have been inconvenienced to a large degree, but never really impacted. negatively. This one, I'm going to use the word negatively from the standpoint of that we're farther away now. There's no just going down the block, and there's no just their friends, parents just dropping their friends off down to where we are. It's a mission. It's a planning situation. It's, hey, are you going that way? You're coming south or whatever. And it's you have to be intentional about where we are. And that's really a part of life. And I'm finding that even with this move and moves in our lives, when you, I know a lot of us have moved at least once in our life, probably three or four times to be truthful. Moving sucks. I'm not even going to try to sugarcoat it. Moving sucks. And the whole process, I don't like the process. I like the end result when you finally get settled in, you get that last box thrown away and things put exactly where you want. Because I'm a creature of habit. I like things in its proper place. It doesn't have to be the same thing. I like being adventurous. And I've already told my sons that we're living right now in the summer of exploration and completion, meaning we're going to explore this new area that we're in, the new foods, the cuisines in the area, this the place in general. We're going to explore life and spend a lot more time doing again. And not, I had been caught up in myself. I had been in the midst for so long of my own thoughts and fears and emotions and feeling some kind of way. But now I can get away. I can stretch my arms and my wings and my legs and kind of get back into life. Okay, as I saw, back to life. But okay, but I can go to that. Okay. But now I can get to a place where I can breathe again. I can take a deep cleansing breath and let it go and not worry about who's behind me. And not that I don't want to see the people that are in the area. And for those who are listening who are from the area where we just moved from, I'm not running from you all. Love you all. Even those I don't have a relationship with. I love you all with the love of God. We're all supposed to love people with the same love that you love God. But it was a moment when I was driving down here one time. I don't know if I was bringing stuff for the new house or what, but I felt real clearly in my spirit. The Lord told me that if I don't make this move, nothing else that I want in life can happen. And that's serious because it's all about obedience. Because I know we get caught up sometimes in saying, oh yeah, obedience is better than sacrifice. And we think we're on the right side of that scripture. But let's really think about that. When you say obedience is better than sacrifice, if the Lord tells you to do a certain thing and we don't do it and we start trying to sacrifice and not doing or sacrificing and doing and helping people that the Lord told us not to help, if we start doing the things that the Lord didn't even tell us what to do any of that at all, that's a sacrifice. If we do the things that the Lord told us to do, that's really where it's at. That's really where the Lord wants us to be. And He'll take care of everything else, especially when we move. And that's the thing. Even obedience takes action on our part. I'm not saying obedience is an action word, but it takes action and requires motion, requires movement. In this new season that we're in right now, and I'm sure this new season that you may be in your lives, for me, I'm trying to find my way. I'm trying to get the floor to stop moving. I feel like I'm on a boat, and everything is just moving and shifting around, and eventually it will settle. I've got new job, new house, new address, new zip code, new bills, new in terms of utility bills. It's just new. It's just different. I got new places, new cabinets to put stuff in. I'm trying to find, you know, I wanted to make waffles and pancakes just a few days ago for the kids. And I know at the old place, of course, you know, I did all the shopping and, you know, I knew what was in there or what should have been in there for the kids, ate it all up. But I'm looking for like waffle mix, pancake mix. I get down here and I'm like, okay, I know I got some Krusties in there. I can't find it down here to save my life. Now, the blessing was that there was some, I had bought some paleo style pancake mix several months prior. I could find that because I hadn't fixed that for the kids, but it was just frustrating because I couldn't find what I wanted. Even a nail clipper. I had the kids put this toenail clipper back in the same drawer, in the same, not to say in the same place in the drawer, but at least it was in the same drawer. So when any of the kids needed to come and clip their nails, that nail clipper was right there. I can't find the nail clipper. I'm sure it's in a box somewhere. I think it's in the trailer because I know I did my room last. It was one of the last trips that we made, not the last, but one of the last trips we made, it should have been in that box. So I got to find, where's that stuff? Where's the stuff from that trip? I remember putting it in a shoebox like thing or a brown box. I just got to find that brown box and find a home for everything in the house. And it's frustrating in life because it wants to do this and get your house in order, so to speak, because I don't even want to do it because it's like, forget it. It's just leave it there. Just go buy new and just start over. Just throw it away. But the reality is we've got to pick through all of those boxes and put these things away and dig in. I have got to get them all emptied and deal with all of that stuff. Either I'm going to keep it or I'm going to throw it away. It's got to get done. It just can't be this eyesore laying all over the garage. We've got to settle in. That's one of the things I told the kids I committed with this move is that we're not going to just move in. This time we're going to settle in. But I have to also give myself a pass. I have to give myself permission to understand that it takes time. You can't move in a day. We've only been here 3 weeks. And you can't unpack in 3 weeks. You couldn't pack in 3 weeks. I mean, you probably could, probably should have. It probably didn't take us that long to pack. But it was a lifetime of stuff we've put into a certain place. And we can't allow ourselves to be super frustrated with the changes that we want to make in our lives. It didn't take a moment for us to get that way to make those decisions. So it's not going to take just a moment to unmake those decisions. I wanted to... Well, let's keep moving. Oh, I should have mentioned this other part here. We had ants. I hate insects like that. With all this fancy stuff that we got going, all this packing and unpacking, I got a line and trail of ants back and forth coming from an outlet, well, actually a light switch and an outlet to underneath the refrigerator of all places for it to be under the fridge. Oh, it's just nasty. But anyway, we're getting that taken care of. So let's look at the valuable lessons we're learning in our lives and our thoughts. And today we're dealing with the topic of the next step. And when we first, let's talk about the next steps here. I want to make sure I ask the question, what keeps us from moving forward in our lives? What keeps you from moving? What keeps me from unpacking those boxes? What keeps me from dealing with that hurt? What keeps me from either paying that bill or what keeps me from talking to that person and dealing with that situation? What keeps me from moving forward? Is it hurt? Pain? Is it someone? Is it something? And it's usually all of the above, and I probably should have put a plural on that because it's usually hurts, plural. It's usually pains, plural. I know people say hurts and pains. Why using the same word twice? But they're really different in certain people's minds. A hurt, in some cases, could just be something that's really deep. It cut me deep. That really hurt. Pain can honestly just be... If it could be physical pain, it could just be something temporal and passing. It could be someone that hurt us pretty bad like that. It could be something that happened. Who knows? It could have been a layoff. It could have been an accident, a car accident, or something physical happened to us. There are varieties of things that keep us from moving forward, or they look like they keep us from moving forward. But the truth is, it's really us that keeps us from moving forward. Now, granted, if we have some things that physically attacked us, whether it be sicknesses, or, disease or accidents that are damaging to our bodies, yes, those are some real physical things that are keeping us from moving forward. But at the same time, we have mentally to choose whether or not we try or not, whether we want to try or not. We have to move forward. Are we doing the physical therapy that we need to? Are we taking the medicines that we should? Are we eating the diet that we should? Are we drinking the water that we should? Are we following the doctor's orders? Are we doing the extra research to get a second opinion? I'm not saying that we need to be the internet doctors and be our own doctors and we have never studied anything but aspirin U. We need to do better. So we need to make sure that whatever we're doing, that we're doing something. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but this feels like this is the right place to be. So sometimes in the midst of all of the troubles and trials and stuff and headaches and stuff that we're going through, the issues we're trying to run rampant through, we get stuck on Psalms 27:14, when it says, wait on the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. That comes from the New American Standard Bible, Psalms 27:14. I heard that from a lot of the late greats of the church and all the famous for just wait on the Lord, just wait on the Lord. I get it, and I'm making fun and I'm poking fun. And just, but seriously, a lot of folks, we get stuck in that waiting. But as I was doing the research for it, wait is a verb. It's an action. It means to stay where one is or delay action until a particular time or occurrence. Be delayed or deferred. In an informal term, defer means like in terms of deferring a meal, meaning you don't eat right away until another person that you're waiting on arrives. And that's good. That's good because the waiting here and the deferring here is talking about we're waiting for the Lord to move in our lives. We're waiting for the Lord to do something for us. We're waiting for the Lord to take care of that problem and to take away some of that pain and that hurt and to heal our hearts. But what are we doing in the waiting? That's why I really had to ask myself, Craig, what are you doing in the waiting? So often we just lay there. We just sit there. If we talk to God at all, if we pray to God at all, if we seek God, if we spend any time in the scripture at all, we spend so much time talking. And guys, I know we always say, well, you know, we don't really talk that much. You know, guys use probably the first, 5,000 words of our day, probably in the first, 4 to 7 hours of the day when we're dealing with, you know, customers or coworkers. So by the time lunch comes, we have nothing more to say unless we're just laughing and with, you know, some of our friends. Or by the time we get home, we have nothing to say with the family because we're all talked out. I get it. That's the same thing it is when we talk to the Lord. If we even spend any time with the Lord across the course of a day, we're talking. We don't spend any time listening to the Lord. I mean, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this. Lord, this person made me mad. Lord, 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 Lord knows. Lord, 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 Lord. If we would shut up long enough and listen, and listening is an action word too, because guys, we get caught. Want to do something. If you want to do something, listen. One of the next steps we're going to do after this commercial break is we're going to talk about some more tools of how to listen and how to do the things the Lord needs us to do and taking those next steps in our life. You're listening to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. We're right here on WKBY 1080 AM out of Chatham, Virginia. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film, Restored Me.
For something I didn't do. What type of God is gonna watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoboi, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it. Either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
And we're back to the Raising Men Show. And again, I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Welcome, 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 welcome. You're listening to us on the air at WKBY 1080 AM out of Chatham, Virginia. And those of you who may be also listening to our podcast in the archives at theraisingmenshow.com, that is theraisingmenshow.com.org/info. We're all routing to the same place where you can listen to our podcast. You can also find us on social media at The Raising Men Show, or at Raising Men, actually, RZNGMEN, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Reach out to us, send us a message, and talk to us. Keep us the conversation going. Find out, let me know what keeps you from moving, and whether it's a person, place, or thing. And I'm sure one of those things and those persons is you that keeps you from moving, because I know I'm one of those people that keeps me from moving. So let's talk about it. what keeps me from moving? Like, where am I at with this thing? Let's get some tools out there that really going to help us in this final segment. We've got a last few minutes of the show. Let's put some practical things together with it. In this research, I was looking at this movie. The Lord brought this movie to mind. Bruce Willis's character in Die Hard. I'm sure a lot of the guys have seen Die Hard. If you're into action and thrillers from back in the 80s, this was a 1988 action thriller where Bruce Willis's character, John McClane, plays this. You know, he was like a police officer, and he was trying desperately to get his family back together or maintain his family. And his wife had moved to another town, and, you know, because they were on the outs and took their child with them. And he was trying his best to hold it together. But, you know, guys, you know, we don't always do our best to keep our relationships together with our girls. We spend a lot of time trying to be something on the outside that we're not, something we think that she wants us to be. And we have to realize that, guys, the ladies that love us and that have loved us and those that will love us fell in love with who we show them, who we are. And so often the ladies can see straight through the facade, straight through the paint of what we try to put out there, but we're not allowing ourselves to be real and show the real us. When we do that, when we show the real who we are, when we admit to ourselves who we really are, there's so much more in store for in life for them and for us. Because we're real. Being real, you know, a lot of guys, when we have, you know, some lady that come over to the house to visit, or we want to court her, or we want to spend some time with her. Hey, why don't you come on over a little while and spend some time. I mean, we as guys, we don't always have the nicest, cleanest spot. So most of the time, the ladies don't want to come over to our place. So we want to go over there where there's, you know, matching towels and, you know, matching dishes in the cabinet, matching this and actually glass, you know, glass cups instead of plastic cups. You know, most of the guys, our cups are from the stores or from the 7-Elevens or the Slurpees that we're drinking, or the special drink cups we maybe have gotten from a ball game of sorts that we went to our favorite spot. And they're, you know, and they're colored like we like it. But when our, you know, guys, you know, when your special lady comes over to the house, you probably have that one glass or two that's really glass. It may even be clear or frosted. It may have some edges and, you know, kind of look to it a little special, whether it be a champagne glass, water glass, or whatever. It's glass. You know, we spend a lot of time trying to impress our girl. I remember those times when I had a couple of those glasses trying to impress her, and I had those glasses, and I remember dropping one, and it just breaks on the floor. There's glass everywhere. And the Lord just reminded me, just in that analogy about broken glass on the floor, that's really what so many of our lives look like right now from the hurts and pains that we've had in our lives. That's us. That's our hearts on the floor. Those are pieces of who we were, who we defined ourselves all over the floor. And I know for me, with me having, you know, the five boys, and whenever I drop a glass, my immediate thought is anger. Damn, broke the glass. But the next thought is, okay, make sure we get this all up so the kids aren't affected. I want the kids to step on any broken glass. And even when one of the kids break a glass, I get, you know, immediately freaked out because I don't want them to hurt themselves. But the honest truth is that, guys, so many times we've broken glass laying in our lives. Our lives are shattered into a bazillion pieces laying on the floor that we don't take time to clean up. And the Lord gave me the analogy of this Die Hard show because Bruce Willis's character, John McClane, there was a scene where, you know, these terrorists were trying to take over this building, and his girl was in there, and he was trying to save her, and he hears gunshots, and he had been in her room, in her office, actually, getting kind of dressed and prepped for the gathering. And so we heard gunshots, you know, he went into cop mode and, you know, grabbed his gun, and he ran out the room to go see what's going on. He didn't have no shoes on. I mean, I'm sorry, I've broken my pinky toe before on my right foot, and I know what kind of pain I went through, so I'm like real nervous about walking around with those shoes on, because I'm not trying to break that toe again. I know what I went through. I know what I did that caused me to have that broken toe years ago. But in this one scene, the terrorists had shot up all these glass windows in an effort to kill John McClane. And they wound up with all this glass on the ground because they knew he didn't have his shoes on. And so John was stuck between trying to get from where he was, pinned down with all those bullets flying, to this only safe place, which was going to be across this floor of glass. But he walked across it. And he wound up being cut up. I can see you still seeing that the next scene when he managed to get across all that glass and he was hurting and there was shards of glass on the bottom of his foot. And he found a bathroom where he could go and put his feet up on the counter and in the sink and pull those pieces of glass out that had ripped his foot apart. And just, that was me. That's us. With our shattered lives and hopes and dreams on the ground. Now, I know in that movie, it was a Hollywood movie, so there wasn't an opportunity and a proper time for him to go get a broom or two or whatever and clean up all that glass, but in our lives, we can do the same thing. We need to take the time. We may not have thought we have had the time to go back and clean up the mess after she died or he died and they died, or you lost the house, you lost the car, you lost the apartment, you lost a relationship after the relationship, and there's all that glass left on there. And in some cases, we've even put the glass on our body because there's people who've tried to come and help us, to try to help us pick up the glass, come and old saw and pick up the pieces that we don't even want them to be near us. It's like, no, people can get hurt from us and by us unintentionally in an effort to help us because we're so busy wearing the glass, wearing the shards of the broken relationships, wearing the hurts and pains on the outside, like they're embedded into our clothing or part of our skin, like we're some rhinoceros or something, armadillo, and have these ridges of a dinosaur on our body. And we don't need that. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We need to take those moments and stop. The next steps in our life really needs to be go and deal with the pain. Go deal with the things that hurt us. Clean up the glass. Put it all away. Take it off your shirt. Take it off your arms. And stop wearing your heart on your sleeve when you're trying to be all hurt. But it's really not your heart on your sleeve. You got a piece of glass on your sleeve. That's really what it is. It's probably stuck in your arm, causing you some pain. Pluck it out. Let's go. The Lord's reminded me that if you've lost a loved one, I've lost a loved one. A lot of us have lost loved ones. That's hurt. That's pain. That's glass. Our loved ones live on in us if and only if we live. If we're not living, then they've definitely died. Their living was for nothing. Clark's sisters used to sing the song, "Is My Living in Vain?" Well, yeah. If we don't live after the loss and death of a parent or spouse or a child, then the life of the one that died is in vain. It was for nothing. Because they spent, especially if it was a spouse or a parent or a grandparent, they spent at least a segment of their life being an inspiration and motivation for you. If it was a child that you've lost, I'm sure that child, whether it be in their smile or a laugh or just being able to hold their hand for the brief moments that you did, whether they were responsive or non-responsive, was motivating for you. Because that was love that you already developed for that child, whether it be formed or unformed, born or unborn, lived for a moment or a lifetime. We have to make the change. We have got to clean up in our lives. We've got to do better because we know better. Yeah, it's going to suck. I'm not going to even lie to you. I wish I could have some fancy thing to make it all go away and say, oh, just call up a cleaner, call someone else to come and fix the problem in our life. Now, granted, there are some people that we need to call to help us. We need to let them help us. We need to be helped. We need to not only be helpful, but allow ourselves to be helped. That's something I've struggled with so much of my life. I'm so used to having been the helper. I've been in a position in my life where I've needed to be the helpee, and I haven't done a good job about that. To those who I have not allowed to help me, who were earnestly and sincerely trying to help, and who I know particularly who were supposed to help me and didn't, for those people, I apologize. Now, let's be clear that not everybody in your life that comes to offer help needs to be in your life to be helpful, because they're not being helpful to you. They're being helpful for themselves. Or maybe I should phrase it this way. Some people are trying to be helpful to you, but they're not really helpful for you. Now, where are we? As men, you're probably thinking, I don't even want to pick that glass up. It's hard to get started. I wish I had a magic bullet for you guys. I wish I had a way to say, you know, just do it, you know. Get up, put some dirt on it. That's what we're taught as guys, right? To just soldier on. Or those who are, you know, in the army, rangers, ranger on. Put some tussin on it, as the old school folks used to say. But we can't continue to suck it up. That's not going to solve the problem. It's still going to be there. We can't stop covering up our problems and ignoring them like they're not a problem, like they don't exist. If we continue to do that and suck it up and pretend things don't exist, we lose ourselves. We lose our direction, our focus, but most of all, we lose sight of God and His plan for our lives. We have to take time to see what the next steps in our lives are, but we can't do them if we can't see them. And if we're spending our time looking at God and listening for God and finding out where His plan was for us that we stopped paying attention to, then we've got to take those steps. We've got to make those moves. Yeah, people always talk about, oh yeah, I'm a boss. I want to be a boss, live like a boss. But you know what? Some of us still got jacked up lives. We need to make some moves like a boss in our life and fix up and clean up the issues that we have in our life. Yeah, make a boss move. Go see a counselor or a therapist. Yeah, make a boss move. Go say I'm sorry to the person that you hurt. Yeah, make a boss move. Go hug and kiss your kid. Yeah, make a boss move. Get up and go to work. Wash, shower, put some deodorant on, brush your teeth. Yeah, make a boss move. Fast and pray. Yeah, make a boss move. Submit and go to church. Yeah, make a boss move. Give your life to Christ. Yeah, make some boss moves in our life. Take those next steps in your life. Listen to God. Don't just talk and pray all the way through. Listen. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this program today. This is the Raising Men Show, week 4, next steps of our Teachable Moments series right here on WKBY 1080 AM. We'll see you all next week right here where we're going to continue on with this Teachable Moments series. I love y'all. Till next time.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.